Morning. Today's daf Menachos Samach Tes. We are in Samaches Amud Beis. We are right before the two dots. Discussions of the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. So they serve as matir. As we've gone over this numerous times, but now we are in the sixth parak of Menachos. So this is the place to discuss it in detail. And the idea is that any grain that grows over the course of the season, generally speaking, by the way, grain season, and I'm speaking as if I knew, but generally speaking, grain season is over the winter. And so what happens is that it's generally speaking a six month process. You plant after Sukkot, you harvest before Pesach, and good. And so your grains are generally coming in springtime, Pesach time, and so but they're chadash, they're new, and you can't eat them. And it's an issur in the Torah to eat the new grains until the Omer. Second day of Pesach, when the carbon omer is brought, so that's the heter of the allowance to now eat these grains. Now, is the day itself serving as a matir, or is the carbon serving as a matir? So that's yesterday's daf. And so I direct you to go back to yesterday's daf and review what we learned yesterday. But but we could say now simply the omer is a matir. And now we also learned in yesterday's daf that vis-a-vis the menachos in the base of Mikdash, there's actually a second matir, meaning that the Omer is a matir for the rest of us, so that now all of us can eat the grains, but in the base of Mikdash, to offer a grain as a mincha in the base of Mikdash, either as a standard mincha or as a nesachim, as we learned in the Mishnah. So for that, you need a second matir, and the second matir is the Shtei Alechem. So that means that 50 days later, after the Omer is brought, so now our second matir is brought, and our second matir is going to be the Shtei Alechem. Good. That is what we learned in the course of yesterday's daf. So our first question that we're going to be dealing with today, we'll just pick it up right where we left off yesterday. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Ledivrei Yehuda ben Nechemya. Well, let me just go over one other point, by the way, so that we can understand the upcoming Gemara. And that is the answer of Yehuda ben Nechemya. What was the answer of Yehuda ben Nechemya? Well, Rabbi Tarfon had a question. Rabbi Tarfon said, I don't get it. In other words, we also learned in the Mishnah yesterday that when it comes to offering a mincha, as long as we're past the Omer, so then grains could be offered in the Beis HaMikdash as well. And the question of Rabbi Tarfon was, I don't understand. Meaning, if the Shtei Alechem is the matir for the menachos, so then why is it that if I bring grains as a mincha before Shavuos, it should be okay? It should not be okay. And Rabbi Yehuda Bar Nechemya's answer is, no, I'll tell you why it's okay. Meaning, lechatchila, you should wait, of course, till Shavuos. But in other words, babidi evidi would be okay, and the reason why is because it's mutter. In other words, since it's hutter michlalo, since it's mutter for the rest of us, so therefore it's bidi evidi acceptable to be brought to the base of Mikdash. That was the answer of Rav Yehuda Bar Nechemya. On that, now we can pick it up. Now let's pick it up in the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Ledivrei Yehuda Bar Nechemya Nesachim Bikurim Shehikrivam Kodem LaOmer Ksherim. So let's say the Nesachim Bikurim. So it's Nesachim, but it's just the wine. We are just describing the wine over here. Rashi. Nesachim Bikurim Miyayin Shebikir Kodem LaOmer V'Ikrivam Ksherim. So it's wine. When did the wine ripen? Before the Omer. So, and it was offered, so it would be kosher. Now the Gemara says Pshita. Now I don't understand. Meaning, isn't that obvious? Meaning, it's before the, in other words, it grew before the Omer. The Omer is Matirit. Now, we're talking about grapes over here, so the idea that the Omer is matir is a little bit strange, because, and the Gemara is going to make this point in just a moment, in other words, the Omer is matir grains, not grapes. So the Gemara says, Pshita, ma'u detem asam hu dehutu mechalo itzal hejot. Ava hacha de lo hutu mechalo lo kamash malan. So, kol shekin hacha de lo itzer klal. So the Gemara just gives us the Havamina. The Havamina is that, look, when it comes to grains, so at least the Omer served as a matir. So then I understand that if I bring grains after the Omer was matir, and I bring them after the Pesach, but before the Shavuos, so then b'dievet would be okay. But at least it experienced some kind of heter. But the grapes experienced no heter whatsoever. The Gemara says, okay, the grapes never experienced a heter, but they never had an iser. So in terms of, you can't really compare grains to grapes. Good. Adkan. Okay, we are now up against a two dots. Where before that we have a parenthesis. It's a mnemonic helping us remember the upcoming Gemaras. Okay, and the mnemonic basically takes us through the entirety of today's daf, right? Seder, Hanatsa, Gali, Pill. Okay, and you'll see. We'll go over all four of them. So right now, Seder. We are discussing Seder right now. Order and organization. Our first question of this morning goes like this. By Rami Bar Chama, Shtei Alecha Mahu, Shiatir Shelo Kesidron. Okay. What if, let's say, I have a grain, it experienced the heterim of the Omer and the Shtei Alecha, but out of order. Okay, and that means, and it looks like this. Meaning, so the grain was in the ground prior to the Omer, and we're going to learn this in tomorrow's daf, but let's say it right now. Okay, the Omer is matir grains that were harvested. That's a given. The Omer is going to be matir grains even if before they were harvested. That's also a given. And we're going to learn in tomorrow's daf, the Omer is going to matir grains that are in the ground as long as they took root. Hashrasha. As long as a grain took root, so then the Omer is going to be matir even those grains as well. Good. All that we're going to see in tomorrow's daf. But in the meantime, for us right now, so let's say the grains didn't even go through the process of hashrasha. So in other words, the seed was in the ground, it didn't take root. I could feel the question of how do I know whether it took root or it didn't take root, and the answer is I'm not a farmer. So I'm not the right person to ask. But anyway, but they were in the ground, they didn't take root, and the Omer came and went. Okay, and so therefore the Omer was not matir these grains. Okay, they have experienced no development as of yet. Good. And now, as we head to Shavuos, so now the grains took root. Let's even say they were harvested. Okay, I don't know if that's feasible, but whatever. For our purpose, it doesn't matter. They were harvested, and now Shavuos has come and gone. Shtei Alechem was offered. So now this grain experienced its first matir. Now, almost 10 months later, right, thereabouts. So now next year when we get to the Omer, so now it experienced now its second matir. Now, of course, this is not the usual order.
Right.
In other words, the usual order is that first it goes to the Omer, and then it goes to the Shtei Alechem. So our first question of this morning is, what if a grain experiences the two matirim but out of order? So first it experienced the Shtei Alechem Shavuos, and then it experienced the Omer, and now what? Now, of course, by the way, let's be clear.
The Omer is for the next year, not for this year. The Omer, because...
Omer is for any grain that didn't that was not developed as far back as last year. Meaning this grain for last year's Omer was not yet developed. So now it never experienced an Omer. So in this coming year now, the Omer is going to be matir it as well. So any grain, it doesn't matter when it grew, any grain that did not experience last year's Omer, you will need this year's Omer. Fine. So basically, let's be clear about the Gemara's question over here. Meaning, for you and I to eat it, it only needs one matir, not just any matir, but the matir of the Omer. So the question is not vis-a-vis for you and me. The question is for a carbon. In other words, for a carbon, as we learned in yesterday's daf, so in order for a grain to be brought as a carbon, it has to experience two matirim, the matir of the Omer and the matir of Shavuos, the Shtei Alechem Shavuos. Over here, it did experience it, but just simply out of order. And is that going to be significant or not? Answers the Gemara Hechidami. Okay, well, first the Gemara gives the example, the one I just gave. Dezarina bein Omer l'Shtei Alechem, you planted it between Shavuos and Pesach. Let me say that again, and let me say it correctly. You planted it between Pesach and Shavuos, v'chalef alayu Shtei Alechem, and so now, the Shtei Alechem passed over it, meaning it experienced the matir of the Shtei Alechem, the Omer. And then, about 10 months later, it experienced the matir of the Omer as well. So my, kisijan shayan shalok kisijan lo shayan, odim shalok kisijan nami shayan. And so, the Gemara articulates the question really clearly. We know it experienced the two matirs, experienced it out of order. Is that okay? Is that not okay? Answers the Gemara, or at least an attempted answer of the Gemara. Amarava, Tashma. Im takriv minchas bikurim. The Torah says, if you're going to be offering the minchas bikurim, ben minchas ha-omer ha-kasav medaber. Now, one more time, and I'm sure will not be the last. We are in Vayikra, we're in the second perek. That's amazing. We're in Vayikra in the second perek. And at the end of the second parak of Vayikra, so the Torah talks about a mincha. And the Torah does not give a lot of clarity of which mincha we're talking about. Im takriv minchas bikurim la'ashem, aviv, kalui ba'esh, geres, karmel, takriv eis minchas bikurecha. Your first grain you're going to be offering. Now, your first grain you're going to be offering. Now, we already happen to know that this is talking about the Omer. Right, we've already gone through these psukim a couple of times in the course of this mesechta, but now the Gemara is going to expound on these psukim once again. Back in our Gemara, ben minchas ha'omer kasa medaber. So right away the Brisa identifies Do you know which mincha this is referring to? It's referring to the Omer. The Mehechan Ba'amin HaSa'orim. Now, in the Torah here, meaning in the second parak, it doesn't say which grain it should be brought from. So it comes from barley. How do I know it comes from barley? Maybe it comes from wheat. And of course, a strong argument should be made that it should come from wheat, because every mincha comes from wheat. Rabbi Eliezer, so we have a number of answers of how we know that it's barley. Answer number one, it's a gzeres shava. We have the word aviv as by the makos. Interestingly enough, at the end of Parshas Va'era. So the makah of barad, so the hail comes down and it attacks the barley. And the Torah over there describes it as aviv. So nemar aviv b'mitzrayim, nemar aviv l'doros, ma'aviv amor b'mitzrayim se'orim, af aviv amor l'doros se'orin. So Gzereshava telling us that we're talking about barley over here. Rabbi Akiva amar matzina yachid shemevi chavasom anachitim, v'chavasom anasu'orim, v'tzibur shemevim chavasom anachitim, v'vim chavasom anasu'orim. Rabbi Akiva arrives at the same conclusion, but a different path. Rabbi Akiva says, look, when it comes to an individual obligation, sometimes we find barley, and I say sometimes, I really mean one time, but it doesn't matter. Sometimes we find barley, and sometimes we find wheat. So when it comes to obligatory karbanos, we're going to say the same thing. Sometimes wheat, sometimes barley. Now, if our omer were to come from wheat, so if that would be the case, do you know how many times then we have obligatory karbanos coming from barley? The answer would be zero. And we can't have zero. So then we would have no communal mincha coming from barley, and at least in terms of a parallel model, if by individuals you sometimes have wheat and sometimes have barley, so too by the community, sometimes wheat, sometimes barley. Now it's an interesting assumption that Rabbi Kiva makes, that there has to be a parallel. What basis does he make that assumption on? I don't know, but he does. And so another piece of evidence that the Omer is coming from barley. Davar Acher, another suggestion. Imata Omer ba minachitim ein shtei lechem bikurim. And here's a wonderful argument. You know, the shtei lechem we bring also first, right? The bikurim of shtei lechem. So for a moment, if we could imagine that the Omer is coming from wheat. So now the Omer is coming from wheat. So you know what the shtei lechem is now? Not, it's not first. In other words, because the Omer was first. So by the Omer coming from barley, so now the Shtei Alechem Ashuas is coming now from wheat, being the first wheat of the year, vis-a-vis the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, good. V'im Isa, good. So now what do we have over here? A number of arguments in this Braisa in terms of how we know that the Shtei Alechem is coming from, how we know that the Omer is coming from barley. What we're going to do right now for our purposes is we're going to be focusing on the last argument that was just presented in this Braisa. The Omer can't be wheat, because if the Omer were then wheat, so then the Shtei Alechem, the wheat Shtei Alechem would not be a Bikur. It would not be first. Gemara says, let's consider. Im Isa. Shtei Alechem shelo kisidron shayim mishkach halav. So the Gemara says, now, to our question, what if a grain experienced the matirim but out of order? First Shtei Alechem, and then the Omer. So then, mishkach halav. So you know what? The Omer could be wheat, and the Shtei Alechem could be wheat, and the Shtei Alechem could still be number one, because demakriv omer mehanach d'ashrus kodem l'Shtei Alechem ubazer omer d'ishtaket v'Shtei Alechem mehanach d'ishrus kodem l'omer d'hasha ubazer Shtei Alechem d'ishtaket. So the Gemara says exactly what we just described, meaning, but basically what we're going to have is we're going to have a grain that first experienced the Shtei Alechem, then experienced the omer, and even if the omer were wheat, now again the omer is not wheat, but I'm just within the argument of the Braisa. If the Omer was wheat, still the Shtei Alechem would be number one in terms of the Matirim. So the Gemara says, oh, it must be that just simply doesn't work. Meaning you can't have first Shtei Alechem and then Omer. Meaning the only order in which the Matirim work is Omer and then Shtei Alechem. So the Gemara to that says, look, the proof is okay, but misvar is bikurim lepera kamrinan, lemizbeach kamrinan. V'ha'achal lemizbeach. So the Gemara says, look, as far as the Bikurim are concerned, are you of the opinion that Bikurim are for the fruit? Fruit over here, not meaning literally fruit, but in other words, the produce yield that is connected to the Bikurim. We're talking about vis-a-vis the Mizbeach. In other words, the Mizbeach should not eat this until it experienced until they experience the matir. So the and as far as the mizbech is concerned, the mizbech is only going to be consuming from this year's produce. So in other words, basically, it's not related to our discussion. Our discussion is that what if we have an experience of shtei alechem followed then by omer? As far as the brisa was concerned, the brisa was just simply talking about a regular current year in which, if I have an omer and I have the shtei alechem, so what would if the omer would wheat, then the shtei alechem obviously cannot would not be the bikur, would not be the first. So basically, the Gemara says that the proof is not a wonderful proof, and it leaves our question now unresolved and unanswered. So again, the question on the table: what if I have the double matir for the base of mikdash, for the mizbeach, but I have it out of order? Is that going to work? And the Gemara is right now leaves the question and leaves it unresolved. Next. By Rami Bar Chama, the Gemara now asks another question in the name of Rami Bar Chama. She'alechem hanatsa sharya ochanata sharya. As far as the she'alechem is concerned, at what point in the process, in what point of the development of the fruit is the matir? Is it going to be the hanatsa or the chanata? Now, right, just in the springtime, so we go to a blossoming tree, we make a bracha on the blossoming tree, and so here, I know just a little bit, right? Hanatsa is basically the flowering, right? When the fruit is not yet developed, but in other words, but the area on the tree where the fruit is going to develop, so it flowers. So that's hanatsa. Chanata, flower falls off, and now you start to see a developing fruit. So, at the shtei alechem, which is not only serving as the matir for the all the grains, and again, the shtei alechem is a matir vis-a-vis the mizbeach. So, it's not only going to be the matir for the grains, but it's also serving as a matir for the fruit as well for the mizbeach. Fruit such as bikurim, fruit such as nesachim, like we discussed previously. And so now the Gemara wants to know, so is it going to be the flowering, or is it going to be the beginning of the developing of the fruit? So the Gemara says, "Maya natza may chanata, ilay ma natza depere v'chanata depere." So the Gemara says, really, that's the question you're asking about flowering of the fruit or the development of the fruit? The Gemara says, "Hashta hashrosha sharya hanatza v'chanata mibaye." The Gemara says, let's consider. When it comes to grains, what exactly is the point in which the grain's development is needed in order to be the matir, in order for either the omer or the she'alechem to be the matir? And the answer is, I already gave it away earlier this morning, we'll say it again, hashrasha, taking root. If the threshold of development for a grain is that all it has to do is just take root in the ground, that is obviously a very early stage of development. By fruit, you're having a discussion about whether or not the flowering of the fruit or the development of the fruit. Like, in other words, that's absolutely not parallel. If by grain, all I needed to do is just simply take root in the ground, and by fruit, you're talking about at what point the fruit is actually developing, they are not parallel with one another.
Yeah, but one is a tree, which is there, and the other one is...
Okay.
There was nothing there.
I do hear that. The Gemara cannot even entertain that they are operating on the same plane. So the Gemara says, "Ela hanatza de alei v'chanata de alei." So the Gemara says, "Okay, you're right. You're absolutely right. We're not talking about the fruit. We're talking about the actual tree itself. And what we're talking about is the leaf. How much of a leaf of a tree needs to be developed in order for the tree to be considered nitar through the shtei alechem and mi havike ashrasha ola?" And the Gemara says, "Now, if I start to see a leaf developing, so can that be comparable to hashrasha of the grain?" Take with the Gemara leaves this question also unresolved. Okay, and so far, if you want to go back to our mnemonic that started off our day today, so far seder, so order. So that was the first question we asked today. Let's say I have a grain that experienced the two matirim just out of order. First it experienced the shtei alechem and then it experienced the omer. So can it be used for the mizbeach? We left that question unresolved. That was seder. Our second question, which we just went through, is hanatsa. And that is, what exactly is the developmental stage of a tree in order for the shtei alechem to be matir? Good. And now, by Rav Abba Rav Chanan, we're up to our third question of the mnemonic, of the simanim. By Rav Abba Rav Chanan, chitin shazar bakarka, omer matirin, o ein omer matirin. Let's say I have wheat kernels. So they are developed wheat kernels, and what do? We plant them back in the ground before the omer. So now, is the Omer going to be matir, or is the Omer not going to be matir? Hey, Chidami. The Gemara says, I'm not understanding your question. Did it take root or did it not take root? Isn't that the most critical moment? And isn't everything just dependent on that? Because did not, we learned in the Mishnah, or I should say, we will learn in the Mishnah. This is tomorrow's daf. If a grain takes root before the Omer, this Omer will allow and permit this grain. If the grain takes root only after the Omer, so then we're going to have to wait till the next Omer in order to be able to eat the grain. Simple. So what are you asking me about whether we take the kernel and we plant in the ground? It should all be contingent on Hashrasha. So lo tzricha dechatzdinu vizarinu kodem laomer. Va'osa omer v'chalef alayu. So the Gemara says like this. Here's what we did. We took the kernels. We did put them in the ground. But we put them in the ground basically for storage purposes. You know, back in the day there wasn't a fridge. We know. So in other words, so where do you store things to keep them fresh? So the number of different ways of trying to preserve freshness. So one way sometimes was just simply put it back in the ground. And so here there was these kernels were put in the ground right before the Omer, Vasa Omer v'chalaf alayu, and the Omer comes now and passes over them. Now v'kami ba'ilei ma'u l'nikute u'mechel minayhu. Keman d'shadji b'kada damya v'sharina Omer, odilma batu hulu l'gabi ara. And a wonderful question, which we're going to ask in so many different ways, but it's all going to come out to be the same question. When I take this kernel and I put it into the ground, not to plant them, just simply to store them. And now the Omer comes and goes. The second day of Pesach comes and goes. Question basically goes like this. Those seeds now in the ground, even though I didn't plant them as seeds, I just simply wanted to keep them underground. So now when the Omer comes and goes, do we say either option A, they're just basically in a container. And the Omer is not going to affect it one way or another. I just simply view the ground as a container, and the seeds are, and the kernels are just that. The kernels. Or maybe no. The other option is that no. Once I put them in the ground, I can no longer view the ground as just simply a container holding these kernels. But basically, I now have to, the only way I can view them is the seeds in the ground. And if they are seeds in the ground, and they didn't take root, and the Omer comes and goes, so that means that we're going to have to wait till next Omer in order to eat them. And so basically the question, as articulated by the Gemara, is, when I put anything in the ground, even if my intent is not to plant it, can we look at it as the ground as a container, or the ground basically can only be looked at as a ground, and so therefore it's considered part and parcel of the ground. So our first nafka mina is going to be Omer. The Gemara is going to ask this question in a number of different ways. Yesh lehem ona o ein lehem ona. Here's a second variation of basically the same question. Is it going to be subject to the laws of ona? We know that if I sell you something and you buy it for me and I charge you anything above, not anything, if I charge you above fair market value or below fair market value, so it depends how much I defrauded you. If it's over a six, if it's over about 18%, so then the halacha is mekach bato. If it is exactly a six over, a six under, so the mekach is going to be kayim. I just have to return the difference of the overcharge or undercharge, depending on who got defrauded. And then if it's anything less than that, if it's under a six, so then mekach kayim. Fine. And these are the laws of Ona, which are discussed extensively back in Bava Metzia. But the Ona'a laws only apply to metaltalin. They do not apply to karka. Ein Ona'a b'karkos. And so with that in mind, so here we go now asking the same question, but just vis-a-vis the halachas of Ona'a. So if, let's say, I sell you seeds in a ground, so are they subject to Ona'a? Hey, Chidami, the Gemara says, now wait one second. Let's just be clear about the question. Ilem adam le shade be shisa v'asu sahade v'amri delo shade ba'el chamisha. Are we talking about where there was a debate between buyer and seller in terms of amount of seeds? Anything that's quantifiable, meaning if I tell you that I'm selling you 23 jelly beans, and it wasn't 23 and it was 22, so even though that is obviously less than 18%, but that is subject to Ona'a. anything which is quantifiable, which is countable, measurable, is not subject to onah, period. And when we say not subject to onah, Rashi over here writes, Tosfos over here writes as well, see the top Tosfos for this point, and that is that the mekach is voided, the sale is voided. Because if I'm asking for a specific amount that can be measured, and you sell me anything less or anything more, so then, that's not what I wanted, a makbid, the sale is totally voided. So Ella, meaning the only room for any kind of margin of error is going to be where we're debating about how much it's worth. What is its value? So there's margin of error. So the Gemara says, Ella da amalei shadi ba kedabayla. So the Gemara says, look, you see that area of land? Put in enough seeds that it is normally appropriate for that much land. Okay, now, so this is, okay, good. So now this is not an absolute. It's not something which is quantifiable. It's a call. It's not an estimate, but you know, we have a general idea. Now after this transaction of basically I bought seeds in the ground, I thought he put in enough seeds that would normally cover this much ground. And meanwhile, witnesses come and said, Oh no, he didn't put nearly enough seeds in. And now, and now, are these seeds that I just bought that were in the ground, are they going to be subject to the laws of Onah? And again, it's the same question with the same nafkamina. Do I view seeds in the ground as just simply the ground serving as a container, but the seeds are really just that, they're seeds, and therefore the metaltan, and therefore the subject to Onah? And if what I thought I bought was a certain amount of seeds, and the seller undersold me significantly, and significantly I mean more than 18% less than what I wanted, so then the sale is voided. If, however, the seeds are viewed as part and parcel of the ground, so we know the halacha is ein onah bekarka, and so therefore this transaction is not subject to the onah laws, and so therefore there's no onah. Here's a third permutation of the same question. Nishba'in alein o ein nishba'in aleihem. Let's say there's a debate between two people, and the debate results in a shvua. And are we going to make a shvua on seeds in the ground? And again, it's the same question. In other words, if the ground is considered just a container and the seeds are considered movable items, we know we make a shvua on movable items. If, however, the seeds are nisbatal to the ground, they are part and parcel of the ground, we don't make a shvua on karka. We're not going to make a shvua on these seeds. It's the same question. Take on all these questions, the Gemara leaves unresolved. And that now ends our third question of the simanim. So far, we've covered this morning Seder, Hanatzah, Galeh. Galeh over here means like exposed, or like the seeds are in the ground. And now we're up to the elephant. Okay? The elephant in the room. By Rami Bar Chama. Chita shebeglale bakar, usarin shebeglale behema, mahu. Well, now we're not up to the elephant yet. It's coming up in just a moment. But you'll see, the next bit of Gemara all deal with the same basic theme. In other words, various items that went through the digestion of an animal. And comes out. Now, it comes out undigested. Now, appetizing? So I think we can all agree. Not that appetizing. Okay, so if I have a wheat kernel or a barley kernel that goes through the digestive tract of an animal and comes out the other end, so, okay. Like I joke numerous times, I wouldn't bring this up at the dinner table. Yeah, right? You're liking that bread? I got a story for you about the bread. I'd leave that out as a dinner conversation. Maybe afterwards you want to tell him. Maybe. I wouldn't even recommend it then.
What's the question?
All right. So Phil wants to know, what's the question? So I have either wheat that went through an animal or barley that went through a behema. And clearly, by the way, the bucker normally eats wheat and the behema normally eats barley. But anyway, lamai. And the Gemara now wants to know what Phil wants to know. Okay, good. Right. Wonderful idea that the wheat and the barley went through the digestive tract of an animal. But lamaisa, who cares? So the Gemara says, Elam elatumoy tumas ochlin tanina. So the Gemara says, well, are these wheat kernels and barley kernels subject to tumas ochlin? The Gemara says, look, the wonderful question, I know the answer, it's a Tosefta. The Tosefta writes, chitin she beri'i bakar, if I find any wheat that went undigested, that was found in the stool of an animal. So if you just think about eating it, that's not enough. A machshava is not going to be enough. And again, I'm just saying this on my own. You know, you'll humor me, please. And I know why. Because even though you're thinking about eating him, but in this particular case, your thought is a fleeting thought. Because you're thinking about eating them, and then you'll think a second time. And then you'll say to yourself, you know what? Nah, I'm not going to eat it. But liktan la'achila, but if you do an action, and which is that you go through the stool, and you remove all the wheat kernels, and you'll wash them well, obviously. So then, the Tosefta says, matami tumas ochlin. Now it's subject to tumas ochlin, meaning now it's considered a food. It wasn't just a fleeting thought. You did an action, so now it's considered a food. But basically the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? It's a wonderful question, but we know the answer. It's a Tosefta. So what are you asking? Alala menachos, the Gemara says, okay, but what if I take these undigested wheat kernels and barley kernels and clean them well and use them now for a mincha? The Gemara says, get out of here. No way. It's a pshita delo. The Gemara says, that's obviously not acceptable. Hakrivu nala pachasecha yirtzecha yisa panecha. The pasuk in Malachi, which the Gemara quotes all the time, in terms of, look, if I'm not offering it to a governor, I cannot offer it on the Mizbeach. And the Gemara uses this to describe many things that are just simply not fit and not qualified to be brought as a carbon. Certainly, I do not have to belabor the point that any wheat or barley that has gone through the digestive tract of an animal and comes out as part of the stool of the animal, it's not something that I would give to the governor. It's not something I would put on the Mizbeach.
So, maybe you would.
Okay, but if I hear you, Danny, but if he knew, he probably would be offended. And okay, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu obviously knows. So, meaning it's not something that, you know, with full disclosure, you would never do this for an officer. You're not going to do this on the Mizbech. Okay, good. Lo tzricha denaktinu v'zarinu v'kabayla asui menachus minayu. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Gemara says like this. Okay, so now we are finally at the limit of what exactly is the question, because and in terms of Tumas Ochlin, we know. In terms of offering it as a mincha, we know. So here, let's go like this. So I took my undigested barley, my undigested wheat, and I threw it back into the ground to plant it. And so now it causes new growth. So now my Mishum di Misisuhu Vikim de Zarinu Azda Lemiisuse. So on one hand, says the Gemara, if I plant it in the ground and it's new growth, Panim Chadashos Ba'ulakan, it's a new item. So I could use it for a mincha. Odilma Mishum Kechishusahu Vahashanami Kechisha Teku. Or the other option, says the Gemara, is like this. Really, once it went through the digestive tract of an animal, so now it's weakened. It's now of an inferior quality. Even if I plant it, even if it grows, the new growth is still going to have this inferior quality to it. And maybe over here, because of its continued inferior quality, even though in terms of ma'is, is it disgusting? It's not disgusting anymore. It's panim chadashos. But in terms of its quality, maybe it's diminished quality, and therefore I can't use it. Teku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. By Rami Bar Chama, here comes another question for today. The one you'll probably remember by the end of today. Hopefully you remember all of it, but this one for sure you're going to remember. Pil Shabala Kefifa Mitzris Vihikiu Derech Beisari'i. So I have my elephant, and the elephant is eating a wicker basket. Now, Rashi over here, Kefifa Mitzris, I'd say an Egyptian basket. Rashi says Mitzris over here does not mean geography. Mitzris over here just is a type of decal, a type of frond. That I'm, a palm frond that I'm using to make the basket. But in any event, it's a wicker basket that was eaten by an elephant, comes out the other end, and obviously the elephant is used as the example over here because it has obviously a very large digestive tract. So, and the wicker basket, let's, you know, if, you know, right, whatever. But it passes through the elephant and lamai. So the Gemara says, now, again, one wonderful discussion. What are you asking? What's the question? So let's say the basket going into the elephant was tummy. Okay, in other words, it's a kli, subject to tumas kli, and it was tummy going in, so is it still going to be tummy coming out? And basically, what the Gemara is asking now is the digestive tract of the elephant, is that going to be like, I'm using the word really strongly, is it like a mikvah? Where it now, I'm In other words, in no way, shape, or form is the Gemara actually comparing it to a mikvah, but basically, when it comes out now, it's like a new entity. It's like a, and therefore the tumah should go away. But the Gemara says, Tanina, the Gemara says, tumah doesn't just go away. Tanina. Look, if the basket itself did not go and did not undergo any change whatsoever, the basket is not going to lose its tumah just because the basket happened to have gone through one of the dirtiest car washes known to the history of mankind, otherwise known as the digestive tract of an elephant. In other words, it's not just because it experienced that event does not change its tumah status. What changes tumah? Either a mikvah or a physical change in the item itself. Good. So the Gemara says, so that's not even the question. So lo tzricha debala hutzim va'avdina kefifa mitzris. So the Gemara asks, and now this question, the question is wonderful. Okay? I understand. Certainly not appetizing, but it's a wonderful question. Question goes like this. Let's say it wasn't a basket. Let's say what the elephant was eating was wicker. Right? The material to make the basket. The various fronds to make the basket. The hutzin. The avdinu kfifa. And now, after the fronds went through the elephant's digestive tract and comes out the other end, we then take the material and we make a basket out of that material. Now the question is dynamite. It's such a good question. Because what do we know the halacha is? We know that if you make a kli out of the dung of an animal, it is impervious to tumah. This wicker that went through the digestive tract of the animal and it went undigested, is it considered now the dung of the animal, thereby making it impervious to tumah, or no? By virtue of the fact that it went undigested, it's not considered the dung of the animal, and therefore it can be subject to tumah. That's the question. I'll read all that inside. Mi avi ikol havele kekli galalim uchli adama. We're on the top of Samach Tes Amud Beis. Is if, in fact, we're viewing it as digested, so therefore now has the status of the dung of the animal, and it's not mekabel tumah. Kekli galam kli adama ve'mekabel tumah. Da'amar mar. The Gemara here quotes a Mishnah in Kalim. Kli avanim kli galam kli adama. If I have a utensil that's made out of stone, or made out of dung, or made out of earth, an unprocessed earth, meaning not earthenware. Earthenware is processed, and it goes through the kiln. Which is basically you're packing earth in order to make a kli. Ain mekablin tumah lo mi divrei Torah ve lo mi divrei sofrim. It is not mekabel tumah at all, not on a deraisa level or not on a derabbanan level. And so these undigested fronds that went through the elephant, so if it's considered like dung, it now becomes impervious to tumah. O dilma, or the on the other hand, lo havi ikol, or maybe no, we consider it to be, we do not consider it to be digested, and therefore it still is considered the fronds of a tree, and therefore it could be subject to tumah. The Gemara says, I think I know the answer. Tifshalei mehada amar ula mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yehud Sadak. So the Gemara says, why can we not resolve the answer from the following? Maisu balu ze'evim shnei tinokos be'evar ha'yardim. So Rachmanas, a wolf attacked two infants on the other side of Eretz Yisrael. Uva maisu lefnei chachamim v'tiaru asabasar. And unfortunately now these infants' bodies went through the digestive tract of the wolf. And some of it came out on the other end. And so now the question, unsettling as it is, but the question is that the human remains that come out on the other ends, are they going to be giving off tumas meis? And the answer was very clear, no, they're not. It's now considered digested, and therefore they don't give off tumas meis. So the Gemara says, Shani Basa Derachich. So let's think about what we're comparing. I know it's unsettling, but let's think about what we're comparing. We're comparing the flesh of human remains, and we're comparing palm fronds. So just by its nature, the flesh is softer. And again, also consider we're talking about infants. So it's softer. So when it went through the digestive tract, it's considered digested. As opposed to the fronds, where it's obviously of a harder substance. And therefore, we are unsure. The Gemara says, V'lifsha mi seifa, v'timu sa'atzamo. So the Gemara says, well, we also know that when asked a question regarding the bones of the human remains, so there the rabbi said that the bones are in fact, considered undigested, and therefore the bones are going to give off tumah. So the Gemara says, Shani Atzam was the akushe tfe. So the Gemara says, okay, but once again, now, in our comparison chart, bones are much harder than the palm fronds. So in other words, when it comes to the human remains that went through the digestive tract of the wolf, So there the flesh is soft, and therefore considered digested. The bones are hard, therefore considered undigested. The palm fronds are somewhere in the middle. And so therefore, the Gemara leaves this question as well unanswered, unresolved. Next, by Rav Zeira, chitin shiardu ba'avim, mahu. I take it back when I said what you're going to remember by the end of today. So you're going to remember the elephant eating the basket, and you're also going to be remembering it's raining wheat. Okay, so right, the weather report came out today, and the weather report said that it's going to be thundershowers with an occasional sprinkling of wheat. And so wheat kernels are coming out of the sky. And by Rav Zeira, chitin shiardu ba'avim mahu, and what would be the halachic status of now this wheat that's coming out from the sky? Now, you're wondering to yourself, what raining wheat? What is happening right now in the Gemara? What is the Gemara talking about? Okay, fine. So, good. So, Rashi and his grandson debate exactly what's happening over here in the Gemara. Rashi gives a very rational explanation of the Gemara. Out in the ocean, so there was a hurricane that whipped up, and the hurricane tornado, right? And basically, there was a boat out in the water. I'm saying Rashi right now. There was a boat out in the water, and the boat got sucked up by the tornado, by the whirlwind, and basically now went to hit land and deposited all this grain down on the ground. That's the way Rashi understands the Gemara. That's how it's raining wheat. Rabbeinu Tam, for various reasons, you can see it's the third Tosfos on the Amud. I'm not going to go through the Rabbeinu Tam, but Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with his grandfather. See Rabbeinu Tam, see the Tosfos for more of that discussion. Let's, for our purposes right now, let's stick with Rashi. Okay, good. So in other words, a rational explanation of how is it raining wheat. And what's the question now? Now that we know what the case is, what's the question? So the Gemara explains. So, by Reb Zeira, chitin shiardu ba'avim mahu, lama, ilam menachos amaylo. So the Gemara says, well, we'll use it for a mincha, why not? So, in ela l'shtei alechem, mai. So the Gemara says, well, we want to know, can we use it for the shtei alechem? What's the question? Mimosh v'osechem amarechman alafuka dechutz ha'aretz delo. Aval da'avim shapir dami. So the Gemara says like this, look, by the shtei alechem, it has to come from Eretz Yisrael. The wheat used for the shtei alechem must come from Eretz Yisrael proper. And so the question on the table is like this. This wheat came from Eretz Yisrael, but only from a aerial standpoint, not from a ground standpoint. Are the clouds of Eretz Yisrael considered part and parcel Eretz Yisrael? Odilma mimosho sechem davka afil davin namilo. And so the Gemara says that's exactly the question. Does it have to be from the physical ground itself? The Gemara says now, we're entertaining a question. Are we, the Gemara says, are you serious? The Gemara says, yeah, we're serious. We have in our Gemara, Kid Adi, or in the side of the Gemara, Bar Adi Taya. He was an Arab. His name was Bar Adi. So nechise le ram kizva chite betalse parse, and he had this. He had a wheat storm. Wheat rained onto his field. He had a lot of land. He had three parcels of land, and on these three parcels of land, so he had wheat raining down on it. The Gemara says it happened. It happened. So in other words, we're not just entertaining theoretical questions. It's not philosophy. This happened. Albeit, you know, how often does it happen? Okay, right. I know. Okay, and we continue. By Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Okay, and this will be our last question of the day. Okay, and by the way, as far as the simanim are concerned, we've tapped out because the simanim took as far as the elephants, and so now we are beyond the simanim. But we're now going to be asking Shibol Shehivir Shlish. So I have an ear of grain that has already gotten to a third of its development in terms of ripeness. Kodem la omer, before the omer. The akra, and what we did is we ripped it out, vishasla la akra omer, and we replanted it after the omer. Veosifu, and it grew. Mahu, and now the question basically on the table is like this. Basar ikar azlinan visharya omer, odilma basar tosefas azlinan, v'adshiyava omer haba. Our question in the Gemara goes like this. It experienced the Omer, but in other words, only its base amount experienced the Omer. After the Omer, we ripped it out of the ground, we replanted it in the ground, and new growth comes. But that new growth is all grounded in its base, and its base experienced the Omer. So now, can we say regarding its new growth, its new growth is just simply an extension of the base. And since the base is mutter, so therefore the new growth is also going to be mutter, or no? The new growth is considered a new entity. It did not experience the Omer, and so therefore, in order to be eating this, we're going to have to wait till the upcoming Omer. So the Gemara says, I think I know the answer. Tifshalei mehada amar Rabbi Abba, amar Rabbi Yochanan, yalda shesavcha bizikna uvaperos afilo hosev b'masayim aser. So the Gemara says, look, we're talking about grafting trees. Now we know regarding trees, so trees in its first 3 years after it was planted, so is any fruit that comes off that tree is aser, that's called arla. After 3 years, it's okay. And so what I did is that I grafted an old tree to a new tree. So meaning the new tree was already connected to the ground, and I attached to it an old tree, an old branch. After 3 years. Uba peros afilo osif b'masayim aser. And over here, it does not matter. Meaning since the base of the tree, the ikar of the tree is new, so therefore, any growth that comes is considered new. The Amr Shmuel bar Nachman Amr Rav Yonasan Batzel Sheshislu Bekarem V'ne'ekar HaKarem. So let's say I have an onion, and I took the onion and I planted it into a vineyard, otherwise known as Kalayim, and I took it out. The Afilo Hosef V'Masayim Aser. So the Gemara says, even if the new growth is 200 times greater, which generally is enough for Bittul, but in other words, but because the base is Aser, it started in Iser, any new growth is just simply considered an Iser of growth, or I should say better, a growth of Iser, and therefore is going to be Aser. So the Gemara says, so over here from these two examples that are given, by Arla and by Kalayim, everything is rooted in the base. I mean it both literally and figuratively. And so therefore, if the base is Aser, any new growth is going to be Aser. So the Gemara says, okay, that's great. Those are two excellent points, but it still doesn't resolve our question. And I'll tell you why. He gufa kami ba'ile, mifshap shitele l'rabbanan debasu ikars linan, loshna l'kula v'loshna l'chomra, odil mastefuki misafke l'hu, u'l'chomra imrina l'kula lo amrinan. Teku. The Gemara says, you're right. But in those two examples that you gave me, in other words, those cases were cases where maybe we're not sure, and therefore we'll be machmir. Or maybe we know for sure. But in those cases, we don't know because we just were machmir in those cases. So when a person's machmir, either he knows definitively and they're going to be machmir, or I don't know and I'm going to be machmir. But over here, we're asking it as a kula, meaning the base of it was nitar through the omer, and now I have new growth. And the question now is new growth going to be predicated on the base? And if it's an extension of the base, just like the base is mutter, the new growth is mutter, over here I can't have a suffix. Either yes or no. Yes, and we'll be mekel. No, and we'll be machmir. But if it's a doubt, we're not going to be mekel based on a doubt, right? We say throughout the Gemara, we say koach dehetera adif, that to be mekel is better. Why is it better? Because you know definitively what you're saying. It's not just simply that it's a suffix and you don't know. Let's recap today, over the course of today, the number of questions that were asked in the course of today's daf. Let's say I have the two matirim that pass over a grain, but out of sequence. First the alechem, then the omer. Is that going to be good to be brought as a mincha? Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Our next big question of the day. I take seeds, I store them in the ground. Can I view the ground as just simply a container, or the only way I can view it as is now considered part and parcel of the ground? The Gemara asks this question in so many different ways, three different ways. It asked it regarding the heter of the Omer, it asked it regarding Ona'a, it asked it regarding Shvua. Also, left the question on the ground. A lot of undigested items in the course of today's daf. Wheat and barley that went through an animal and it went undigested. And the Gemara discusses that. A basket going through an elephant, undigested. Or the wicker material for the basket going through the elephant, undigested. The Gemara discussed that. And various permutations. Wheat falling down from the sky, like Rashi, it got swept up in a hurricane, and now it falls down to the ground. Is it considered now, since it came from the clouds that are in Eretz Yisrael, is that considered part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael? Gemara left that question unresolved. And finally, this a daf like today, Hedy, I feel bad for you. It's not right. Right. I feel bad these days. And finally, the last question is that when I have the base of growth that experienced Omer, and new growth comes on top of that, is that new growth going to be considered an extension of the base, or is it considered now separate and distinct, requiring its own matir? And the Gemara, that too leaves that question unresolved.